From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad, take two. That's because everybody was giggling a moment ago. As is normal for this crew of people, who just giggleitis, and Lee was having a little titter.
Oh!
Nothing like a little ho-ho-ho titter. Anyway, this is Postcard from Pop Brad. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tattoo Mountains over here in Pop Brad, broadcasting to the world from our little studios here. Isn't it nice? Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, it's none other than the effervescent, young Lee G. Banks.
And beautiful. You have to say beautiful.
Beautiful.
That was lovely, thank you. I have an exclusive.
Whoa.
What?
You only gave me 2 £1 coins, so that's, you owe me £1.
No, that was so you could put them on your eyes. Because it's gone up from pennies now.
Oh, see.
No, but I've got an exclusive here.
What exclusive?
Excuse me, I have to tell the world.
Yes.
That the UK.
Yes. Hang on, hold on, drum roll.
You tell me off for doing that. Yeah, no, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is important. I know he keeps interrupting.
When did I interrupt you?
Sunshine in the UK.
When did I interrupt you?
Me as well.
Oh,
it's sunny in the UK.
Can I
tell you a bit about the sun?
No. Hang on a minute. I just thought, you've got one of them DVDs, haven't you?
I'm not telling you that.
Have you got one of them DVDs? Because we have the one with the nice, pretty, crackling sound of fire. You've got a sun on your telly, haven't you?
No.
Yes.
I'm not on the telly. I thought you meant what I was going to watch after the show. Yes, I do. No, I don't. I have sun out. Blinking heck, it's just gone in.
See, you know,
it's literally just gone in now.
Yeah, I'm doing my impersonation. Gone. That's it. Your sun is
that
over,
was,
mate.
It was very good.
It wasn't bad, was it? Anyway, in the very sunny, warm, I'm not friends with her this week, place in Darwin, and if there's two JCBs out there, I'd be very happy. Thank you for going, gentlemen. It's Rachel Brunston.
Is that why they're there?
No.
You cannot be friends with me, that's all right. But I'm awake, and that in itself is a magical, wonderful thing. I'm awake, I'm alert, I am ready. I am ready to deliver the news.
But that's a comment on last week, because Rachel had a bad week. And she had such a bad week that she fell asleep. And she then mentioned this about 6 times on Facebook this morning, and everybody was taking the mickey out of her. Ha, 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 ha. Notice I'm not being nice, because I blame Rachel Brunden. Ms. Brunden.
Brunsden.
Yeah, thanks very much. If you're going to insult me, at least pronounce my name correctly.
Exactly. Remember the aesthetic S.
The aesthetic S.
Yes.
Cool, gosh.
Oh, like Brunden,
yes.
That's like a bear. Oh, it's
all right. Okay, I'll start that again. Ms. Brunsden.
Sorry, too many S's in Ms.
Yeah, there are at least 5.
Thank you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there I was hobnobbing.
Don't let it get there, Rachel.
I was hobnobbing with the currently elected, soon to be sworn in, new president of Slovakia last night.
What? They had hobnobs at the meal?
I was hobnobbing, dear.
That's what we were eating, hobnobs.
Were you really a waiter and just not telling us the truth? What's
no.
I
no.
just nicked my joke.
I'm sorry, Uncle Lee.
So we stood standing there with these very sort of bastions of the industry and these very well-to-do people. And I'm talking to, it happened to be 2 young ladies, I must admit, these were quite high-powered people. One was in charge of, I think it's the German Chamber of Commerce. I think the other one was from the Swiss Chamber of Commerce. And being the only Englishman, I was sort of doing all the, you know, I'm English, hello, and all being very proper and all the rest of it. And up comes Dr. Jan Talensky and says, "Oh, hello, ladies. Are you talking to Uncle Eric?" Uncle Eric!
I've got to start the sentence with look.
What?
Because that's what I do.
No.
I will not apologise for this. I will not. It is a term of endearment that I gave you, and I gave it to Uncle Lee too.
Oh,
she did.
If it's caught on,
yes,
like a virus,
yes,
that is not my problem. That is a beautiful thing. I will take credit for the PR,
yes,
that it has delivered to this particular program. Now everybody knows you as Uncle Eric from Postcard from Pop Brad, and that is thanks to moi. I'm going to make this about me because that's what I do. I make everything about me. And if I didn't like you, I'd just call you Eric.
Ah.
But if I call you Uncle, that means I love you, but not in a creepy way.
No, no, in a sort of platonic brotherly way.
That's correct. Or even in a platonic uncle way.
Right. Okay.
So please don't. You can't gripe about this. This is a compliment, and the fact that it's caught on with the chairman is a good thing.
Oh, is it?
Mm. I think so. I think it's a lovely thing that you are now known as Uncle, which places you perfectly well in your time of life.
Oh,
yes.
Is Lee having a little titter in the background?
He's tittering, but he must. He can't forget that he too
is of the same group.
Uncle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so stop tittering, Mr. Banks.
I don't understand this because you put on the list, Lee titters like a schoolboy behind the bike shed.
That's because I know you.
You always do.
Yes.
Oh, I see. That was just
when
a bit
something,
funny,
when Eric is publicly shamed or made a fool of or ridiculed in his own eyes,
yes,
you sit behind the bike shed, smoke a cigarette and go, hee-hee-hee.
Yeah. That was a good impersonation, Rach. I like it. In fact, it was very good. And then you see, and Lee can back me up on this, then I'm sure there was only two English guys there last night out of hundreds of people. And so, you know, we had to explain the culture of England, as it were. And I was chosen for this job, being the cultural person that I am. And this one Yugoslav... Stop it. This Yugoslav...
Culture
lady,
like yogurt or culture...
She says, but English gentlemen are so polite, so genteel. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, for example, you always open the door for ladies. I said, absolutely. Absolutely. That is a trait of Englishmen, and we are very proud to do it. And do you know why we do it? So she said, well, to open the door. I said, well, no, not quite, because, you see, if you let the young lady walk through the door...
And there's a car coming, she gets
no,
it first. You're okay.
No.
That's why you push strollers. So
no,
ladies,
no,
you
know, no.
That's what they were invented for, you
So, no. So when you open the door for the young lady walks through, and the man behind has beautiful scenery.
That's disgusting.
Or not, it depends who's opening the
door. No, it's not disgusting. And it's similar to when you're in a train, and as we all know, if we're in a packed train, there's a young, very tall young lady standing up, the gentleman in England will always get out of the seat and offer the seat to the lady, and she can sit down. Meaning that we can... No, I'll leave you to work that one out yourself.
That's Jeremy Clarkson on the naughty step.
Really?
Exactly, yes. The adage of chivalry is not dead has become perversion is alive and well.
Exactly. Lack of a sex life leads to sexism.
Oh, is that right?
Ooh, controversy.
That was cutting, wasn't it?
No, don't do
very
that.
Very cutting edge.
That was very... Anyway, I'm sure he won't offend him because we have got a serious story to start with, but I'm sure Stephen will forgive us for that because, sadly, this week, Stephen Sutton died at the age of 19. The announcement of his death was put onto Facebook. This young gentleman was diagnosed with cancer when he was 15 years old, just 4 years ago, and... No, he wasn't going to be shot down in a ball of flames. He wasn't going to be like the guy that says, oh, look at me, I've cut my big toe. There's at least 1 centimetre cut. No, this wasn't Stephen. He's, from the outset, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Before I die, I am going to raise £10,000 for cancer charity. Now, that, to start with, is phenomenal. He also mm-hmm. came up with a wish list of things that he wanted to do, because I can't call them bucket lists. It just, it's
yucky.
It's very yucky. It is very yucky. And young Stephen raised £3.2 million, that's $5.36 million, in 4 years to assist other youngsters with, and it all goes to this Teenage Cancer Trust, to help them diagnose other kids and maybe give them some remission and other things like that. Stephen, I tell you what, I love you to bits. You will be remembered for years. You're an inspiration to so many people, and you're probably sitting up there now looking down at us and going, hey, they're having fun. And that's exactly what this man did. He was an inspiration to everybody, and I just love you, Stephen.
I think that's fair. I just got a quick exclusive on this. Well, it's not an exclusive, really, but one of the papers revealed this week, and this shows actually how brave this young chap was, because it was revealed that actually there was a major delay in diagnosing his cancer. And for him to have gone through what he's gone through with that hanging over his head as well, just shows what an like you say, the word you used was inspirational. What an inspirational young chap.
He was really good humoured about it too. Even in his last days on Facebook, he was, you know, putting selfies of himself doing blowfish faces and in hospital, and he really was joyful.
Yes.
Really a joyful soul. Right to the end. I mean, he clearly had made peace with what his fate was, and he was just so joyous and full of happiness and wonder and still. And where he could have easily just gone, woe is me, and lay down.
Yeah, exactly, Rachel. And I think that's the important message that will, if Lee's phone will shut up.
I can't do it because I've got this stupid phone system where the phones are upstairs, but the base of it is ringing.
Uncle can't work his technology.
No, he can't, can he? But no, I think, you know, if you're out there and you've got a runny nose or you've got an itchy finger or something like that, just remember what Stephen did. Stop whinging about it. Stop being a whinging pom if you're in England, and get on with it, as this young man has proven to everybody else. You can get on with it. And do you know what? In his 4 years, he probably lived more than a lot of people live in 40 years. So good on you, mate. It was a really, really amazing thing. Now I'm annoyed.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I am so annoyed, and I've always had respect for the House of Lords in the UK, and they are called peers because peers are supposed to be the ones above you. The phrase is my peers, those that are better at it or have had more experience in radio would be my radio peers. The House of Lords has peers. They are no longer my peers. Absolutely carte blanche not. And the reason being is there's a whole section within the House of Lords that goes on regularly where they look at things that are happening now. It's kind of like doing a report if you're in the boardroom. And the lady stands up and does all this. And then she comes to the part where if there are any soldiers that are killed in action, they are always remembered in both the House of Commons and the House of Lords. And so she starts to, if you like, be respectful to those soldiers and their families. At which point, nearly 400 lords get up and leave the Houses of Parliament. They left. Now, Lord Dannett, who is genuinely a nice guy, he's now known as General Lord Dannett, actually stood up and said, yeah, this would not happen if it was the last post playing. Yeah. And this is like the last post. And in a moment, we will remember those guys, because I am just so horrified, I'm appalled. And those peers, do you know what? You should all resign, because you ain't worth it.
Yeah,
I was horrified. I read this today and I was so horrified that I emailed it to you guys to make sure we were going to talk about it. This would absolutely, and we've got some real spanners in our parliament.
Yeah, exactly.
We really do. But this would never, ever, ever happen in an Australian parliament, ever. Mm. Nobody would bat an eyelid. You wouldn't blink. You wouldn't move. You wouldn't do a thing. For them, for so many, 400 of them?
Mm.
Really? Yeah. Really?
They should be fired. They should be chucked out.
They should be spiked in the old, like they were in the old days. Put their head on a pike.
Well,
there is one major question with this that nobody's answered, and it really surprises me that this hasn't been answered yet. And the simplest question is, why did they do it? If they did it basically they were turning their backs on the armed forces, mm-hmm. it is absolutely shameful.
It's abhorrent.
It's
abhorrent if they did that.
Mm. Well, why? Yeah, but why else could they have done it? What else did they think? It was the tea break. Did they think it was time to go for tiffin?
This happens at the end of part of that business area that they talk about in both the Commons and the Lords. So they go through this whole range of stuff, and then, as is normal, the and in fact, this time it's the Lib Dem minister, Lady Northover. She began her statement by saying, I'd like to pay tribute to the six service personnel who have died serving the UK in Afghanistan since the last statement made on Afghanistan. So she was, you know, linking the previous statement to the new one. Now, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter what's going on, whether you fancy a tea break or you're busting to go to the loo, at that point you stand still because you may not have known what she was going to say, but at that point, it doesn't matter. You still stand still, and you pay respect. So there is no excuse whatsoever. Because even if you got up from the thing, you don't realise she's going to do it. You stop.
Exactly. Yes. But that's what I'm saying to you. That's what I'm saying to you. And this story, I will guarantee, will run and run and run, and somebody will investigate why. Because on the face of it, there's no excuse for what they did. But if the obvious excuse is that these are not stupid people, you know, we might think they're stupid, but ultimately they are intelligent and worked hard to get into the Lords. And for the body that really is the watchdog of the British community and the way politicians are acting and ratify certain things, for them en masse to have made a statement like this, there are so many questions that should be asked. This could actually destroy the House of Lords.
Possibly. But ladies and gentlemen, if you'll bear with me a second, because I do think it's worthwhile, we'd like to just say thank you to Flight Lieutenant Rakesh Chahon of the Royal Air Force, Warrant Officer Class 2 Spencer Faulkner of the Army Air Corps, Colonel James Walters, also of the Army Air Corps, Reservist Lance Corporal Oliver Thompson, and RAF Flight Lieutenant Rakesh Kushan, who I mentioned earlier, and also Sapper Adam Morley of the 32 uh-huh. Engineer Regiment, who died in Afghanistan as a result of a non-battle related injury sustained at Camp Bastion. Gentlemen, we respect you. Gentlemen, thank you for what you've done. And to the Lord's people, go grow up.
Yeah.
And watch what's going to happen to you in the future. They set this ball rolling, and they're ultimately going to have to pay the price.
Absolutely.
There's a ripple effect here. There's a ripple effect that is bigger than anybody can anticipate, I think.
I quite agree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can we congratulate Caroline Ahern, by the way? Lee, you found this one. This is just another amazing story of somebody who won't give up.
Well, that's right. Caroline Ahern was back in the late 80s and early 90s, was one of the biggest television stars we got in Britain. She was very young, probably only just coming up to her 30s, and she created programmes like The Royal Family, which I think go right across the world now. And she invented a character called Mrs. Merton, who interviewed everybody from all sorts of people, and she was incredibly funny, but she had these demons inside her, which ultimately damaged her career. And but in the background, which nobody really knew, was that as a child, she'd been diagnosed with having eye cancer. Mm-hmm. She got over that, she beat that. Later on, she was diagnosed with bladder cancer. And she battled on and beat that. Now, at the age of 50, she has been diagnosed with lung cancer.
Terrible.
And she's still going. She's still fighting. Mm. And at the moment, like Eric said, it would appear that she's in remission.
But the interesting thing, Lee, is one of the things that is said about Caroline is that the cancer of the lung is not caused by smoking. It's generic.
Yeah,
and I think that's right. I'm not trying to get people start smoking. I promise you, I'm not doing that. But what I'm saying is, don't just hang labels on things because there's a bit of feel good factor in it by saying, yeah. It's smoking related. No, it's not. Because this lady's been in studios all of her life, there is no second class smoking there. I'll tell you that now. Because you do not get secondhand smoke in studios. And so, therefore, it will have come from the genes somewhere. It's generic, whatever, or it's stress-related. It's not caused by smoking. And I hope that it will stop people banging on about smoking, as an excuse rather than finding out the real reason why people get lung cancer.
It's a cultural thing these days, you guys. You know, there's so much anti-smoking stuff forced down everybody's, lungs, to coin a phrase, that... You hear lung cancer, you immediately think smoking. You immediately think it.
Yeah, I know.
You go straight to that place, but it's people don't understand that. Yes, smoking is very bad for you, and definitely has contributed to lung cancer. There's no doubt about it. Science has proven it. But there's also a genetic link.
Yes,
you don't have to be a smoker in order to get cancer in certain parts of your body. Nope. If you're predisposed to cancer, you're predisposed to cancer, and it'll pop up where it wants to.
Yes, exactly.
Now,
this is if you have a mute button, you may now need it. Because my normal two colleagues are about to chastise me, I can assure you of this, because the BBC have just announced that they are going to sort out an arts section. So basically, BBC Three, which is full of entertainment and comedy, is getting the chop, but they can spend crazy style on the arts. Ah, please. So if you're in the UK and you're a licensed fee payer, tough luck. They don't care about you. Because earlier this year, the BBC promised the greatest commitment to the arts for a generation. There's a reason why they don't want it, Tony. It's because no one's interested, you numpty.
I don't think that's true.
Rubbish.
Yes, why? Exactly. Echoed, what? Uncle Lee. What? Rubbish.
What do you class as art, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what...
It's like a word association. We say art, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Waste of money.
Other than that, do you think a painting or do you think, what do you think?
Do I think a painting? No, don't think a painting. Try again.
Let's do it this way.
Well, no, yeah. I'm clearly getting nowhere, Uncle Lee. Please go.
Let's put it this way, right?
Right.
There has been a complete dumbing down across the world of the arts, whether it's painting, whether it's poetry, whether it's dancing.
Disrespectful. This is our moment. Let us have it.
Okay.
Has taken on... things like YouTube, which is very good, I'm not knocking YouTube, but as their source of art in the world. Mm-hmm. And art in the world is something that changes wars, that changes lives, that gives hope and gives inspiration to people. And while everybody's playing Xbox and going on YouTube and reading online stuff, mm-hmm. instead of reading books and studying paintings and watching drama, then the whole of the world is being dumbed down by this egregious, strange attitude to something which creates something good in this world.
Why should I have to watch very...
Nobody's telling you to. What the simple yeah, thing is... it's very, very simple.
Right.
We live in a society now where instant gratification is the way of the world.
Unfortunately, so yes.
Okay, so we all agree that that's true. Yes. Because it is.
Yes.
Okay, anybody who disagrees is a moron.
I agree with you, yeah.
Instant gratification is the way of the world. We get our food really quickly. We get our information really quickly, et cetera, et cetera. Art is something so that do, is
do
created...
I get, do I get a new cup of tea if I ask quickly?
I don't know.
Do I have a new cup of tea?
I'm going to smash over the head with one in a minute. But and I say that with love.
Right.
I say that with love. It too would be an expression of art. Like the man in Russia who nailed his testicles to the cobblestones. That was art. That was strange art, but it was art.
Yeah. Rach, I agree. I'm comfortable with that. The gentleman that did that to his bits in Russia.
You're comfortable with that being art?
Yes, because it didn't cost the citizen any money. It didn't cost anybody any money. What I see, I'll tell you what I see when people mention the arts, I see a dollars sign.
Yeah. Well, artists have got to make a living.
No, that's all I see is dollars signs. Because art to me now is more commercial than any commercial television or radio. And let me explain.
That's what I see when you put a Formula One. If you put a Formula One car in my, if you put a Formula One car in my face on a television, and that's all I see, because it's covered in logos and sponsorship and rubbish.
Right.
So conversely, there is an argument for that as well. I think it's this whole thing is subjective. I think us trying to make our point to you is redundant.
Is it?
Because you feel how you feel about it, and Lee and I feel how we feel about it, and I think we should move on.
Let me just make a point on this, because I think this is important. I wasn't going to mention it because it would seem a bit self-serving, but under the circumstances, it isn't. Like most people know, 4 weeks ago, a friend of mine and me put together an art exhibition.
Yes.
And this is a travelling art exhibition. And,
well, that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, we, to be honest, we're not making any money out of it. But also,
that is true art. Well done, that man.
No, because we intend to. We intend to.
Yes, that's
we
okay.
We intend to make money out of it.
But are you taking that from a licence fee? Are you taking it from the National Lottery? Are you taking it from a government grant? No.
No, but listen, what's happened is we have it in a gallery called the Zest Cafe, and we've been asked to extend the run at this particular thing for another month.
Good.
Now, that's how art works, and ultimately...
I have got no problem with that, Lee. I've got no problem. But what I do have a problem with is when they give the figures out. 200,000 people went to watch an exhibition. There's 63 million people. Why is the BBC paying money on something that nobody in any kind of majority in the UK are remotely interested in? Back for part two in a second.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I-S.